Okay, sure. RadioDR.co.za.
Yo, what's your boy, Rob? And you're listening to RadioDR.co.za. Easy.
Hey, Basil, if you know, people in post, you know it's A.
No way.
I sit down the whole day.
We just sit, bro. We just sit and click on things.
Black House Talk. Okay,
cool. Keep Black House Talk. So you're saying people in post should be what?
People in post just sit down, click on things, so they should work out and be healthy, you know. Because they get bellies, they drink a lot, it's depression. They all say
depression.
We get depressed, bro. Like, directors like, fix that shit in post. When we have to deal with the stuff, they don't. They just walk in and walk out.
Okay, you know? So what you're saying is that you don't get depression then, seeing as you're on set.
No, I'm actually in post with this guy. Once he's cut all his stuff.
Luckily, he's like me. He goes away from post as well, goes on set.
Yeah, that's actually where we find like a balance with the sanity, where it's like, oh, if you're just in post, man, you're screwed.
Yeah. Black House Talk.
If you ever see any one of those guys with bald heads and big stomachs, they're definitely in post.
Bald head. I feel like I don't fit into any one of these boxes that you have for post-production.
You're bald from stress.
Yeah, that's just,
I don't know. I feel like you have a warped sense of what post-production is.
Post-production's messed up. It's dope. It isn't messed up. It's the people that is messed up.
The people? Oh, my gosh.
Maybe I'm just screaming, fixing and posting.
Every editor's coming for you.
Every editor I speak for you.
Every editor, every sound guy.
Well, everybody out there with that gut.
Luckily, they don't like people, so they probably will never. That is true.
They're just going to troll you.
I speak for all the people who are in post in those dark rooms. They're out here now going, yes, speak, brother, speak for us.
How the fuck did you end up in post?
I think I just liked the craft involved behind post.
It's a technical craft. You don't just
very technical. It's isolated.
If it was a one of it's the MP4, if it's 7.
You won't. I think it's very isolated. I'm not very much of a people person in general, so it made sense for me to be in post.
Yeah, and how did you like actually start out?
I just started out at Tech DUT. Sure. Studied television and film. I was a course there for 4 years. And, you know, you just come across material, you get taught stuff, and then eventually you get bored. You start to know a bit more than your lecturer.
I feel like if I had to go back to school right now, I'd be like arguing with lecturers like, no.
It's not it.
You do not get to tell me that. Shut up.
Yeah, I think ultimately
failed.
That's pretty much where I think you get into your own, where you get in course material, but then you start to extend and go on and start to find your own sort of tutorials.
Yeah.
And you're watching stuff, and then you have ideas now and you do stuff.
But so how did you not end up as a camera? How do you not end up shooting weddings every weekend?
Ew, I think it's probably more just...
Were you shooting weddings every weekend?
I wasn't. I've shot one wedding in my life.
I asked this because
that was Jacob Zuma's son's wedding, bro.
Wow. That's a flex.
It was like a 5-cam wedding. Like, wow. I had a camera, 400 people had a camera, and it was 2 days. That was the only wedding I've shot in my life.
How drunk did you get?
I didn't get drunk. I mean, we just shoot. I can't speak for other people, but I didn't get drunk.
It's cool. You have to keep a professional image, we understand.
I think at the time when it was happening, I was also still young and keen. You don't want to be
messing about
a bad reputation for like stupid things.
I still don't.
When you're still overly vigilant and you want to impress the people that have employed you. Yeah. Was that period?
I'll say Nyun.
Yeah, give me everything. But in the scheme of things, partially
Nyun.
They were living out. They were open, like, you know, open bar. Cats were living large, bro.
Sure.
But yeah, weddings. Only that one wedding. Other than that, it's just
so
been...
You've been doing story the whole entire time you've been in
story,
industry?
Story, brand, just entire time. I think it's just probably just...
Okay, cool. So what was the first thing you actually shot and they paid you? Let's start there.
Yeah.
Paid me?
Yeah. Like, I did a couple of short films that... Where you made money. Your first paycheck.
Made money. It was that wedding, man.
So you're like straight into Polynesian.
You can't run away from that wedding.
I got paid. It wasn't a lot, but I got paid, son.
So what if you're questioning the universe at any point in time, that was like your validation. Oh my gosh, my first paycheck so big. Nah. And then your second paycheck?
I think after that, I just realized that this wasn't for me yet. The weddings are a lot.
They're tough, bro.
Did you edit it as well, or you just shot it?
I didn't. We just shot.
You didn't get much of the wedding.
So you have no idea how stressful a wedding.
Yeah, he has no idea.
I don't think so, but I think I could, as an editor, I think I can relate on some level. It's like, yo,
No. You don't have a bride instead of a client.
Yeah, there's two different things.
I don't think I have to go through that to sort of understand.
No,
how,
you
like,
need to go through the specific, bridezilla client.
We want this uncle's speech. That guy's speech.
I think you see the thing is with weddings specifically is that black weddings actually
Weddings.
Shooting is it's tedious because you know there's like 20 family members that want to speak, and each one of them want to do a 30-minute speech.
Yeah.
And then after that, you have to go and put all the stuff on a timeline, and then
that's a long
the bride
timeline.
Is obviously emotional about every single pages. Individual. Yeah, that's it makes sense. Like, no, I'm just gonna cut the highlights. What everybody said is
first
like,
cut 6 hours.
you can do a first cut. It'll be like 30 minutes, and you're like, nah, I didn't see, and then like just take all the footage. Yeah, you can watch whatever speech you want.
Yeah,
no, it's something else, dude. Like,
no, but I want it in the DVD so that I can play it on the TV at home. My TV only has a DVD player.
Do people still do that though?
Yeah,
DVD. It depends on the age of your client.
Well, there's less and less people, but I'm pretty sure you'll find somebody who's like, "Chelo, it's a TV, I can easily USB."
I think I hear more of like the sort of like the shorter stories, the highlights, real thing becoming more of an accepted.
You see
now, nowadays.
No, I'm going to argue against that.
Why?
Because as you get older, your social circles get smaller, and therefore you think everybody that's in your immediate circle is a reflection of the actual world, when the reality is that it's not.
Wow. Okay. True. You went deep there.
That's my argument. So therefore, the people in your social circle are about highlight reels and so on. But the people from...
Mbezo President. Who will kill it up?
I'm just saying.
I hear you.
You guys can barely do, like, you see a music video and it's like 6 minutes long. Oh my gosh, I'm not sure if I have the time to watch this. It's like you are that person. Hence, when you want to put together your wedding, you're like, no.
You on the internet?
Like, it needs to be like one episode minutes. Of The Good Place, 24 minutes. That's it. Okay, one nice thing from everybody. So what, you're doing stories now?
It's stories, and the ones that pay.
You just shot a movie.
I just did a film called Fiella Files, which is by somebody called Colin Viella.
Thank you, Colin. It's Gora.
Director, writer, Gora. You know, showcase. Yeah, man. I think it was a pretty well crafted film for his first short, for his first.
So it's his directorial debut. What is it? Or first feature?
It's
first serious film.
Features like 60 minutes. That one's like 48. 52.
No, it's still a short film, I think.
It's a short film.
It actually depends.
It's a short film. Like,
yeah, it depends which festival you take it to because the rules are like changing.
Micro
short. Around the 40-minute mark, it's still classified as a short film.
I think
film.
If it's below 60, I think it's a short.
Yeah.
So I think it's a long form short.
So features like 105. Yeah, well.
So for his first film, I think he was very fortunate. He did pretty well. I mean,
have you seen the final cut?
Directing anything.
Have you seen the final cut yet?
I haven't seen the whole cut.
Oh, you just know that the visuals are pretty.
Pretty much it.
I left them a good work. They can't fuck up much from here.
Yeah, I gave him my best.
Speaking to the mic, can do.
I think I still need to see it as a cohesive piece with all the sound design and things together. I haven't seen that yet. But I think, for his first short film, he was very fortunate. I mean, how often do you...
How do you feel about that as like a DOP / editor, like shooting something and then because... I'm pretty sure you kind of used to get to those points where you shoot and edit your own stuff.
Yeah, it's...
Where you send it away. How is that?
It's... I think it's... When you shoot and you also edit in your head,
Yeah.
I think it just makes the process so much easier and saves a lot of time.
I agree with you.
And you make more informed decisions on what you really need to see
sure.
and what you don't.
Mm. I remember when I was talking at Div.
I think great directors should also yes, be good editors.
That was right? one of my things. Yeah, I said, I'm like, guys, if you really want to be an amazing director, go learn how to edit. In fact, you want to be an amazing cinematographer, go learn how to edit.
Hey, because it's weird. I'd sit there with the cinematographer and they'll be like, the whole time, is this going to cut? That's what a cinematographer is always going to ask you. Is this going to cut?
Yeah.
Yo, I'm thinking of, is this going to cut? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, because I do both. Like, yeah, like it's nice. It's a nice addition to every layer of filmmaking for you. You can, editing will always help somehow.
I think
somehow.
That's coming from, if you look at our generation, you look at the generation prior.
Yeah.
Specifically in the film medium where it's very specialized.
It's disciplines. DP, it's disciplines.
You don't even click a mouse button to cut shit.
Sure.
You just shoot.
Sure.
Whereas our generations where it's digital, we have cameras, so we're shooting and cutting. So I think we probably, that generation is just multiversed in skills. So we think of the bigger picture other than this is what I do only. And I need the next person to sort of guide me in terms of whether this is right or not.
I think this generation is developing broader interests earlier. Because like all my favorite directors are like multi-skilled, like ridiculous. These are
Robert Rodriguez, like, yeah, blind.
Like even what?
They are our forefathers. Like, yeah. Look at the current generation right
they,
now.
They did it before it was well. Able. You were yeah. able to do it with the computer type of thing. Exactly. Like they were shooting, they were going into Cameron, cutting.
When he did Terminator,
Avatar as well.
Afterwards, he broke into the production studios to go and edit the film because he wasn't happy with the cut. And eventually, his cut was approved. Was one? Was one that they chose. So the thing is, I think the multi-skilled thing only. For the older generation, it's like it was a slower process.
Yeah.
Whereby now it's like
Billy Walsh.
It's become a norm. I think it's also.
But it's also the amount of information that we have.
We're also headed towards a space where you have to be multi-skilled or versed in more than one.
Like in fucking music right now. Like a lot of the kids are producing their own stuff at the beginning. Then they go out and collaborate with everybody.
Exactly.
When they're coming in, they're songwriter, they're producer, they're a lad. They're a lad. They play the guitar. Yeah, well, because the information is there, like Prof says. That's it's information age, like side effect.
The process of having to assist somebody was a must, like it was necessary. It was an anomaly to see somebody who could play the guitar without being taught, and so on. So that's completely gone because, like, these kids are 5 years old playing with an iPad. Sure, it's just games and stuff, etc. But the fact is, they'll be out here doing research about toys and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like my little nephew does that. He's like, he'll get on an iPad and just watch toy reviews. Like,
that's ridiculous. It's quite insane. It's like, but as they grow and their interests also grow, they've trained themselves on how to actually do research without being aware of it.
I think what's created the space where we can be so versed in different skills is probably due to the lack of mystery. Like, if you look back then, the film industry was just a mystery. Like you couldn't study for the thing.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. You couldn't just get in.
You had to know
somebody who was doing it for you to sort of get into.
Stick around sets.
That's an effect on every industry.
It was actually nepotism. Like the film industry.
It was nepotism. Yeah.
Probably still is. It's nepotism.
It is.
YouTube and the gang are doing a lot to actually break that thing.
Back then there was the mystery of how was this thing done? How does a camera work? Whereas now that mystery isn't there anymore. Like the whole advent of like behind the scenes and tutorials.
Yeah, and we grew up in the middle of that era.
Exactly.
Like I never missed an episode of MTV making the movies. If it was MTV making the movies,
we
can.
BTS. Just to see BTS back then.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember I watched.
Mind blown.
The Matrix behind the scenes, like. I don't know, probably like 20 times, like 20 times until the idea of what bullet time meant actually clicked.
And even like today, BTS isn't that much of a deal anymore. It's like, we want to see how it's done specifically.
Specifically, yeah. And like, I've noticed on YouTube, they'll upload like I saw there was all the random footage of, behind the scenes footage of, you know, Mad Max.
Yeah.
Like all of them, just like an hour of behind the scenes footage just there on YouTube ready for you to watch. So you can imagine how many more movies have just done that.
Exactly.
Because that stuff leaks.
So the part of the DVD where it was a bonus. What was it?
Yeah, bonus material.
Content. has now been moved to the YouTube platform.
Yeah, what do you? Was it? Can you imagine how much more they didn't give us because of 4.7 gigabytes? Damn DVDs. That's why they extinct.
DVD. I haven't seen a DVD in years.
I haven't touched a DVD. I actually burnt a CD this year.
Somebody.
You bought a CD.
I burnt a CD this year.
You burnt a CD?
Yeah, for sure.
How?
I got an external CD-ROM reader.
I haven't used a CD-ROM. I have one. I haven't used one.
Man. Okay. It's weird. Like, not everybody's using a Mac, so not everybody. Yeah,
the USB is next. The USB is on its way out to the CD.
USB-C what? Going forward.
Everything is just going to be
eight. You're
going to be
scratching your beard like you don't believe it.
USB. No, I'm not saying it won't. I'm just trying to think. What would be so huge at USB?
USB-C.
Like? USB-C, NFC. USB-C. NFC right now. Airdrop. Everything. There'll be a universal airdrop against all other things once the other people catch up.
That'll probably be Apple and their over-innovativeness.
Yeah. It's just early.
I remember when I first came across the new MacBook Pro and they just had those two USB-C ports.
Yeah.
That shit was a bitch.
Yeah,
and it cost a whole grand.
Yeah, cost a whole grand. I'd love to go back to go to the old world
just so I can get two USB ports to plug in.
Yeah, yeah. A USB, because you're ahead of time, right?
And an HDMI screen.
That's the problem with Mac. Is like
a whole grand.
You're ahead of time, right?
Like Mac is like, yeah, we know it's the year 2015, but we're taking these motherfuckers 2030.
Yeah.
And now you're like, yeah, you're in 2030.
I almost feel like at some point they're a bit too innovative for their own good.
You get the latest, you're putting yourself 10 years down the line, bro. The computer's going to be working for 10 years.
The cool thing about Mac was like the 2013 MacBook is still effective today.
Yeah.
In seven years' time, you're going to be struggling to find a square USB port. You're going to be struggling.
I don't doubt that.
I've got my wedding pictures here. I need to take them.
Like, look at the micro USB cable now, the one that the BlackBerry came with.
Yeah.
Look at that in the next 2 years. That's going to disappear because everybody's going to be in USB-C over the next 2 years. Everything that comes out is going to be USB-C. Everything. So, like, just that cable. Got the little dumbbell, isn't your mother? Mush. I love technology, the way things like come in and disappear. Cassettes.
Yeah, VHS.
People used to edit on VHS.
Kanye.
People used to edit on VHS. Do you understand that? They had three systems.
It was a lot.
Imagine that. Now your computer, it fits in your backpack. You couldn't fit that machine in your backpack.
So Kanye's record.
No, it fits in your pocket. Yeah? Like our phones.
Kanye's record where you can actually buy it on tape.
No. Jesus is King. Yeah, he dropped it on cassette.
You have it on cassette as well.
I haven't seen a cassette player in ages.
Jeez.
I know who's that nostalgic.
Yeah, I don't think cassette didn't do a bounce back like vinyl did. Maybe it will.
Maybe it will because the generation vinyl is older. Yeah.
Probably will. I can see him do that.
Because we totally miss vinyl. We did not grow up with vinyl.
Yeah, we didn't.
It wasn't a thing.
I actually did.
No, you had a bougie uncle. Yeah, like,
I did. Like at home.
It was that one.
Did you ever scratch the records when they weren't around?
At home.
Did you break the needle?
My dude's place. Well, there was a vial we used to play around with, like, and do those like scratches and stuff. And then his like grandmother would scream and shit because
you fucking up the shit.
But it was like cool thing. You switched on and you just went, it
started sounding like satanic music going backwards.
I didn't grow up around vinyl for a bit.
That's a lot.
Like, it wasn't bougie. It was just there.
But that was from when it was prime. Like those people were there. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, we did not save up money to go buy a vinyl.
No.
I was starting a CD, no matter cassettes. If you had money early,
I think when I was growing up. I'm a 90s kid. I think you guys are probably also 90s kids, I'm assuming. Like, my cassette was like 90s. You saw everywhere.
Yeah, you recorded the top 10.
Even when you remember when you had to rewind the thing to go back to track one?
Yeah.
And there was a pen thing you got, and you were just like, well, yeah.
Swing it in the air, you know, like a panty in the over. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about a panty.
Sitting
but
down
yeah,
and monitoring the radio for your favorite song and just pressing record just in time.
Can you imagine we did that? We listened to the radio to record music to listen to later. That was on demand.
That was rough, bro.
That was PVR, my nigga.
Yeah, it was PVR, but it was rough, bro. Like, you know, there's a specific song that you want to hear.
It's going to be in
the
top 10.
You could hear it is on radio.
and the top 10.
You have to listen to everything,
you know,
to find.
And your mom can send you, can you please go put this washing on the line? And you come back in the house and the last part of that song is finally playing. And you're like, fuck.
I knew I should have just pressed record. Week,
damn you, mother. If it's still on the charts.
And there's the art of just pressing stop just before the
the commentator comes
back. Like, oh,
that was, shut that up.
Steve.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I think we've come a long way in terms of tech. We've come a long way, and we've
actually come a ridiculously long way.
You look at like sci-fi movies. I think sci-fi movies are almost like prophecy.
Yeah,
except
a lot of the time the technology is being worked on when they
when you see when it in the movie, in the right? Movie, yeah. It certainly feels
it's
like it.
It's like they'll sit around with the engineer.
We still don't have flying cars, guys.
I bet you we do. We have like self-driving vehicles, and I remember seeing that in sci-fi movies. It was like I Am Robot.
I Am Robot, like, yeah.
It's not flying.
That was like
Michael Knight. If it's how Michael Knight.
Today's
Wednesday.
This is now we officially the same date as the original date that Blade Runner came out.
Yeah, yeah. Blade Runner is no longer based in the future.
Now Blade Runner is officially based in the past. We don't have any flying cars.
Publicly and commercially, we don't. But I'm sure hell damn, and sure as hell, there is a flying car somewhere.
I mean, there's a lot of concepts flying around, but a flying car is when, like, yo.
I mean, we have.
When my mother wants
one.
We
have those exoskeleton things that can fly and they're on jetpacks.
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean,
yeah, that's quite intense, though.
Did you see the exoskeleton?
Yeah, that thing. I'm damn hell
do you
sure.
You see the exoskeletons for the people at work who do the heavy lifting? They've got exoskeletons for
those.
Them. So you
those.
Can even sit
there
down.
There must be like so much.
And it just
fun.
Doesn't work.
It just levitates in the air and like.
I know employment is cruel to me.
I can imagine like day one of wearing the exoskeleton, you're like you'd be so excited for work, and then come next week you're like I'm actually tired of this.
I'm
job.
I'm actually tired of this. Yeah. Fuck this job. Fuck this exoskeleton. I'm gonna break my back today. Break the screw of the exoskeleton.
Maybe we should change offices. You know, the labor intensive ones where everybody's got like augmented realities. There's things going on,
yeah.
And the augmented reality game tricks them into actually doing work. Like, okay, cool. We can take this bomb here and we're gonna move it there, etc. And then shit blows up. Except in reality, they actually just.
If you're doing that all day, every day, you're gonna get bored. That's the thing about the human brain. Like the human brain, you give it something at the first time, and it's wild. The more you play it, the less of the effect that has on it. And it's the craziest thing.
How do you feel about VR?
VR, it's one of the technologies that we have. And so somebody figures out how to make it good. It's just there.
It's going to be the world 2.0. That's what I think.
Have you guys had a VR experience before?
I have. Like, I fucks with VR. I've created some VR, try to make even 360 cameras. Like I once like took four cameras and put them on a plank,
yeah.
And then stitched them back together.
On a plank,
yeah, just to create my own. Yeah, it was like literally like each corner of a plank had a GoPro sideways.
I can just see this like hashtag #SheRig situation.
Yeah, yeah, and they're all tied to it by an elastic. So I took that, I restitched it, and I created like a VR experience. So VR, like Prof says, like technology needs to catch up. Like the glasses need to not look like idiot glasses. Like when you, like all of that needs to happen, and then VR becomes a thing. You know, so it's
all
sitting there.
All that to do is just pay a bunch of.
I'm generally very skeptical about VR just in general. I'm very skeptical of it.
Nah, I think we won't.
That's probably why I haven't been in a VR pair of headsets yet.
You can do that with your phone, bro. You don't need the VR.
I mean.
This Google Cardbox.
Here's the question you need to ask. Like, go ask the 13-year-old what they think of this tech. Because they would be the generation that has
that
grown
will
up
get
with
gain
it.
From it.
Yeah.
And from growing up with it, they have more ideas of what can be done better with it. Like, to you, it was introduced to you. So it's like, oh, this is its limit.
Yeah. Like, in industries as well. Like, a lot of these things will sit back in the back of an industry until the world needs it. Like medicine. Like, medicine, I know, with 5G, 5G is going to kill latency. We will kill latency when 5G becomes a thing. So then doctors are going to be able to operate from anywhere in the world because the machine is literally doing exactly as she's doing at that exact moment. So so that's a VR situation. Then you take that and you start applying it in more and more industries. Like we're going to go to the fucking space. Like our kids are going to be working in space. Like they're going to legit like, oh, Usman Mining and Mars. So we're every 3 years, you know, like that's still gonna be a thing. Like by the time we're old men,
Don't make a dope ass movie, by the way.
You know? You know, so,
that'd be so sick.
I fucking lost my point, man. I don't know what the fuck I was saying anymore. But yeah, like, these things come and they're pretty cool.
How do we know we're not in a VR simulation right now? That maybe, like, maybe, I don't maybe know, not, some certain not. Decade.
That's that simulation VR theory shit, popping, bro.
And then we all put our heads that's in this the thing. Mandela effect. Never came out.
Have you heard of the simulation theory?
I've heard. Elon Musk has talked about it.
Elon Musk loves that subject. Anyway, it's for you people that don't know and are listening. Basically, there's some mathematicians that believe that we're living in the matrix and the machines are controlling us and looking at us. But they call us the ancestor colony, and there's a futuristic colony of humans.
Name? I didn't even know we had a name.
Yeah, if we're a simulation, we're the ancestor colony.
Ancestor colony.
Yeah, so they've created a simulation of what life used to be back in the day before they could create something as advanced like this, where you know what strawberries taste like in your head.
And so, it being a simulation. As a simulation, like, I'd imagine that the ultimate game would be getting plugged into a game, except when you get plugged into the game, when you're playing it, you forget that you're in the game.
That's the thing I'm worried about VR. Like,
that's going to happen.
I don't know.
If this is the game, man. Think
about Twitter already, how people are living. Just
I don't know if I plugged in my head into some VR thing like 100 years back.
I don't know. Yo, guys, let's throw it back to Earth.
Yeah, I'm sitting with you guys.
90s, let's go.
I don't know.
Yeah, let's throw it back. You know, let's have a shared memory.
But at least, like, what, virtual drugs?
but that's like one thing that'll be cool, though, when we get the headchips.
Virtual reality, we're able to plug ourselves into a computer. Obviously, somebody's going to come up with a code for virtual drugs, and you'll actually have a high experience.
Yeah.
Would the government ban this?
Yes, they would. Because they're a government.
Until they figure out how to tax the thing, man, that would be legal.
Yeah, each time.
Tax and code.
Once they figure out how to tax them, no, this thing's fine.
If you want another shot, watch an ad. That'll be the government.
Another hit of digital heroin.
No, but governments as we know it are apparently.
Ad after 10 hours. I'm going to pay for this, I can't.
That'll be. But governments as we know it apparently might change. I don't think they will because people are fucking greedy. But we. The world should move to a more individual, has more choice like situation where I vote, I have my chip, I'm a citizen of South Africa, the government knows me, I get my $1,000, my 1,000 rand a month. I'm adding that to like the world that we'd be living in once that would happen where we don't need a government. So, okay, we need somebody to run the country. Who are we voting for? And then they'll be on our phones like for 3 months, like, hey, vote for me. But obviously, there'll always be dumb people who are going to fuck it up.
What we need to do is build an AI who's going to govern us. I know that sounds scary.
That is the worst idea.
It's you not.
It's oblivious.
You want to be governed by man?
Have you not seen 2001 Space Odyssey? It doesn't end well for us.
But listen, the thing is that...
Who can switch it off?
The fact is, there's a lot of calculations that we use... coding of pre-coded shit to be able to have,
our brain works as a code.
So my thing is that it's like no human being actually built a computer. It's all little machines that are dealing with it now, etc. Mm-hmm. Because those machines have been given a specific software that they're running and so on and so forth and so forth. So in a sense, like, AI is not, I don't think it's the monster that people think it is, because like it's software, but, it's code.
But you know what would happen?
Give me a chance.
I don't disagree with that, man.
No, but give me a chance. Like the things that you've given it an equation to solve, right? And that's you've given parameters.
The basic
for that
idea of what AI is.
It's humans. We're humans. That's the fucked up part. You can't calculate.
No, but the thing is that here's the thing. Then my argument is that if you're like, okay, cool, here's the AI. It's been created. What you're going to do is you're going to learn how to make sure, how to basically see what is needed within a human's life for them to be happy. Except you're not limited to being able to study just a group of people. You're actually able to study the whole entire world. And you're able to see what kind of patterns trigger wars and certain behaviors, etc. And what kind of patterns trigger a life where someone is content and actually happy with that and so on. And then after the AI has been able to study the human race for about 100 years, then the AI will be like, listen, Buffett, if based on my calculations, we did X, Y, and Z, we would actually have the human race not being at war actually being at peace, producing enough food, and so on, etc. Because no one human being can be able to calculate all that ish.
Yeah.
Whereby we can create a whole entire AI code software to be able to calculate.
The biggest problem when I come to is that we're human. There's going to be a human being who's making some, who's getting a benefit somehow, that if that machine goes into power, he's no longer getting that benefit. And thus that man will fuck everything up, and that will not happen because we are human. That is my thing. You can't. That is the ultimate conundrum. So you can't calculate humans.
So the problem is not the fact that the AI wouldn't work.
It's
the implementation of it. There'll be some corrupt motherfucker who's like, "Nah, I like the status quo."
There will be a human. There will be a humans. We're our greatest and worst things to ourselves.
You know what I think of when he talks about that? What's that? That Marvel movie, one of these Avengers,
Thanos.
Not Thanos, pre-Thanos, like the AI.
You
that's
said pre-Thanos.
Stark
pre-Thanos.
Builds.
Not pre-Thanos.
Oh. I'm like, what?
Stark builds his AI thing because he needs...
Sure. I forgot what it's called. In the Age of Ultron.
Ends up being like this Ultron.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like you're describing, bro. Like, it's all good intentions.
Until a human comes
this thing's been coded in a certain way, but then it realizes...
I think
these guys do all these things.
Building code versus actually creating a person is two different things.
No, but when you add a neural network, prof, you don't like
what,
that's
you're
the thing.
It's self-aware.
Not even self-aware, but the fact that it has a neural network and it's made to think like a human brain.
It's learning
in essence. So you don't know it's a computer. It speaks a million times more faster than you would ever think with anything. Yeah? Well, so you don't know what it's hiding from you on top of that. If it learns, because it depends how good is the machine that you want to be.
I've seen two or three different instances where they interviewed AI. I think there are three of them that we have in the world that are just like they made bodies and stuff for them. One of them's even a citizen in like Dubai or something.
Wait, they made an AI a citizen.
Dubai is eager about everything. They're getting Uber Air
first. Remember at some point where I forgot what the lady's name is. It's a lady. It's
like,
I know
Sophia.
I think it's Sophia.
Sophia.
She made a joke about how one day they'll take over the world and just like, you know, and imprison humans or whatever. That wasn't a funny joke for an AI machine to make. It's like, whoa.
But I guess
in front of a crowd of people, it was like, whoa, okay.
Like, maybe our purpose as humans was to usher in the age of AI so we can eradicate ourselves.
Yeah. There's also that theory.
A species that's maybe actually better and faster than all of us.
Bio-cyborgs.
I mean, look at Blade Runner with the, what's that race they make?
Come closer to the mic. I can't hear you.
Cyborgs or whatever.
Yeah, we're going to be into...
Oh, I'm not a Blade Runner nerd, but I love the movie.
We already cyborgs.
The Blade Runner program, what do they call them? They have a certain name for them where they made these like half human, half...
half cyborg, half
AI things, and they send them out into the system to go and work.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty much probably where we're headed, where we will make these humans who are much more intelligent than we are and way more advanced.
But they'll still be a robot.
They are advancing so quickly, that's going to become a threat to our existence. So now it's like, okay, cool. How do we regulate these people that we made?
Then we're going to have to live with robots. And then some white guy is going to marry a robot.
That's probably where it's headed. Somebody,
you know, some white guy is going to marry a robot.
The first guy in history.
I love her.
The day a robot is able to cook and clean, do the washing.
A robot has citizenship right now.
No, me, I want an ironing bot that's able to like, I want to be at the office and be like going, downloading Gordon Ramsay, telling it to create some whatever from this menu in this little restaurant in Paris. I'm like, cool, that's what I'm having tonight. And I know when I get home, my robot has made dinner and everything.
Yeah, and I can tell it while I'm still at the office.
And that right there is the death of human beings.
No, it's not. Because, like, dude, how many things have been automated?
That is mechanical as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how many things have been automated?
You see, I think it's like everything's been automated. But I think with the automation comes with a certain depth of like just human nature. Like,
yes, the idea and how that we come together. Like, dude, if we had to go back 100 years
and have a chat, and you know, I think there's certain things that we're gonna lose with technology. That
like sitting at the family table and not watching TV.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit's dead. Now we're on the iPad, nigga.
If you look at something like I don't know if you've seen that movie Oblivion.
Yeah, I think Tom Cruise. Yeah. The one where he keeps dying.
I literally just remember that's wide, beautiful shot.
Or something like that. Yeah, but Oblivion's the one where he's like
living in the sky or something.
He's living in the sky, and there's like two of them left or whatever.
I remember shots. And he's under the impression that storyline now.
They are there to do a certain job, and the rest of the human colony is waiting for them just outside the Earth's atmosphere. Like they live in this new
world
or whatever. But only to find out that later, everybody's dead. This machine or this AI is
has
pretty much
constructed a world.
Where it's like it's
trying
it's
to keep him content.
In that movie, there's a scene where I think he comes across like an old baseball stadium or whatever, where it's like in the future he's living in that doesn't even exist anymore. Where you can be in a place and it's full of people and you're all there to watch this game and this atmosphere and there's like just the human colony in one place, and they're celebrating.
VR is going to kill that.
I think anything automated.
When you can pay 10 rand on your phone, put on your VR goggles, and buy a digital seat to your favorite Manchester game, fucked.
You don't want to be sick.
No, but just things. Here's the thing. I think there's going to be a balance of the two.
Yeah.
Because like the same way, there'll always be people who want the full-blown world experience.
You know I would be sick.
But it might become more elitist in a sense where it's like, yo, you can actually afford a ticket to go watch Man U live. Or to go watch...
Watch it live in your hand.
I'm going to go have the real experience and I'm going to post it on my Facebook AR feed, whatever.
You know what would be dope?
What would be dope?
Imagine a game playing somewhere in England. That's United or Chelsea or whatever.
Yeah.
And we have projection technology that is so far ahead that you can watch that game in any stadium in the world with that same projecting technology. So the game that's there can be projected into Moses Mabhida.
Whatever's
happening that side is happening on the pitch. Like it's
like a fan park.
Exactly, but not with like people on the pitch.
Oh my god!
Running around and things are happening because they're being projected onto that pitch. That'd be sick. That'd be mad.
They're close. I just saw a recent thing they're doing in a few stadiums where at any moment there's an AI connected to about 30 something cameras or 100 cameras.
Oh yeah, you're talking the rebuild.
Reverse
it and they're able to move the camera in any direction.
In any direction. They're pretty much taking a picture of the whole stadium.
Yeah.
And when you want to find yourself in the as the goal where you missed, you go and tell it at that time period and then find yourself in the stadium at that exact moment and that exact reaction.
Yes.
So that's the reverse of that in essence. Because that's the crowd reaction. Dude. So I see it,
I think, there would be a market for that. But it sucks in a sense of how it still centralizes all the money.
Yeah.
Of course it centralizes all the money. Somebody's going to have to pay for the infrastructure.
Yeah, because what I've been loving about technology is the fact that it decentralizes-ish. Where it's all the money's concentrated like this. The internet is
No, but you know what?
And it's breaking apart. It's there's still a big chunk in the center where the companies are, but now there are other people on the side with the dust that the center doesn't care about actually get to eat.
No, but what you don't get is that you could seriously build a regional thing of that. It obviously depends on who's holding the money. So the people who are in charge of creating the projection in your region would be making the money. So there's that.
For me, I guess I'm looking at the fact that it will be harder to create local brands in terms of our soccer stars.
I don't know. There's always at least one. America will have 100 machines. Our country will have one. So it will build.
There's people who love soccer so much in SA that they can list almost all the players in UEFA and so on. But you ask them to list 5 South African soccer players, they freeze.
Yes, one of them right here.
So it's that already in itself is a country where we're so passionate about this thing. I don't care about soccer though.
I don't know. I think the PSL just fucks up the whole marketing of sorry PSL guys, but I think the seats are empty and you guys can see. And I don't know why the seats are empty when people pay you guys license fees and everything. Markets, sell t-shirts, fill up stadiums. That's like there's serious organizations around the world to look for. And I don't think with enough time and strategy, they'll definitely fill up those seats because they used to be full, those seats, dang it. I guess it was at a time when people didn't have TV and internet and stuff, but dog, yeah. There's people love soccer in this country. We know that. There's no reason why there shouldn't be full stadiums.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Like, it's just lazy work from the organizations and the teams.
I think it's a big part of South African culture in general. We just seem to have a...
Like, but it's part of the culture that people get game. People only go to Pirates and Kaiser Chiefs.
It's a lack of self-respect.
But each the brands, it's the brands. They need to respect themselves. They need to be with the people. Like, I mean, I'm not a soccer player, so I haven't seen no PSL team encroach into my space
I just mean in general, like how we look at ourselves as a country. Like, you look at somebody from New York, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, yo, if you come across like New Yorkers or something, like Americans, like they carry. It's the fact that they're American. It's just like it's
patriotism.
Yeah.
We don't have the same patriotism as they do. Like, normally, most of the time when something South African comes up,
there's always a bunch of negative people.
We don't have the confidence in it, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, I think it's for instance, leans more towards patriotism.
Let me just say, for instance, a South African movie.
I get what you're saying.
American movies at the box
it's
office.
What we basically in South Africa, it's what we used to. A lot of, and I think this goes back down to just people not being able to have independent thoughts. We swim together.
Down to our artists, where you get somebody who's been working hard for like 10 years, but they're not really acknowledged by people until somebody overseas acknowledges them where they actually have a career.
And then,
then when they come back, it's like, yo, this person's come back, and it's just. They're great. Now we see them, but it has to come from outside before we can be like, yo, this person's dope.
Yeah. But
the thing is, we take a lot of our culture from the Western world.
A lot. That's why,
like,
yeah.
It's ridiculous, actually. It's like most of our successful TV shows aside, in terms of numbers, are probably all international.
Yeah.
And
also seeing a lot of knockoffs.
Yeah.
With but American programs.
Yeah, that's a layered problem in SA, though.
But you know what the funny thing is?
Yeah.
I look at some of these things that are happening outside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's us. They've been taken from us.
Yes.
No, but we can't monetize
this. It's like they repackage them. Yeah. Then we continue them again and not realize that it's us. Like, it's like it's diamonds.
Yeah.
We have the raw material.
Yeah.
I think
they mine it.
Yeah, but the diamond process situation is complicated though as well.
Then we buy it back at like some crazy ass amount.
We don't have infrastructure.
Like,
to deal
doesn't
with
that
it.
Seem like the story of just like the continent in general? Like we
It is.
But I see more it.
And like South Africa,
okay,
I've been saying this for 3 years.
Is a whole different conversation.
I don't think it is. Like it's a similar concept.
No, but dude, here's the thing. Okay, cool. It's like right now, if we had to decide, okay, we're gonna take back our mines.
Yeah.
We'll end up like Zimbabwe, because. All the companies that are invested in just like billions and billions worth of all this machinery and investments, etc. Like, dude, it's they've rigged the whole entire system to make sure that we can't win as a country in terms of being able to claim ownership of the gold, diamond. Like, the biggest diamond found in the world is from South Africa, sitting in fucking England. So, dude, that's a whole different political game.
It is a whole different political game, but in terms of the mentality,
the mentality thing, I do agree with what's happening. But at the same time, it's like there is a shift that's slowly happening. Because like you look at the rise for about Casper Nieuwers, like this level of success would never have been attainable, just like 15 years ago. Like when we were kids, like artists were going broke. It's like they have a hit song, it's nice, etc. They eat for December, and then afterwards, 5 years later. This artist is broke, struggling, and so on.
Five is
so,
really nice, maybe two.
But 18. I'm saying, like, the fact is, like, there are shifts that are happening, and there is more black consciousness that's slowly creeping in.
Where do you think that's coming from?
Like,
there's a word, global culture.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you.
No,
you are right with that.
Absolutely agree.
Global culture.
So it's not even our own decision.
Dog, I know sometimes I step out of my own bubble and world and I look around and people go, oh, where'd you get them? I'm like, oh, Amazon. I'm like, oh, you trust Amazon? I'm like, what do you mean? Amazon's like the biggest company in the world. It's like, I want to have as much access as, like, you feel it if you walk around the internet with your South African identity.
Yeah.
You'll feel where the worlds are blocked. But they're slowly opening up. Like, banking is the last frontier right now. Like,
it's like, a big one.
It's a big one. Like, I'm just trying to, like, you know, buy in dollars with an American account. Like, that's the next step where the banks get shut down.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not gonna talk about that. They might shut us down. You know. You know. Shout out to the banks. We love you. You got our money. You know. We love you. FMB though.
Yeah, well, why is FMB trying to block crypto, man?
FMB though. Yeah, man, it's been a good show. Ndu, we here with Ndu today.
Man, colorist.
It's been a long time coming, but finally glad to sit down with the bros and just have a discussion.
Yeah, man, we tried to do the show for so long. Thank you for finally actually coming through.
We've been going through life.
You should be back though. We always invite people back, so whenever life you want to come back.
You so know. What, you off back to Joburg now?
Not back. He's leaving.
I'm leaving. So you're going to the mines. Grand.
Hey, man, I'm going to where the money is. Where the money is at. I don't have a kid.
So man. You don't have to send any money home.
Black tax?
Black tax?
You blessed. And
you blessed. He pull up. He pull up. Black tax, but don't pull up.
But then again, I'm probably lying. Like, I think black people in general, like most of us are, I don't want to say victims to black tax, but you know, we have certain responsibilities.
Yeah.
They all like differ in terms of like their lengths. But I wouldn't consider myself somebody who's like a black tax
subscriber.
You make it sound like it's a choice.
Sometimes it is. But sometimes it isn't. And on that beautiful note, Stolugun Shea. You can always listen to us on radiodr.co.za/blackhousetalk and on Deeply Rooted DBN on YouTube. Yes. Thank you, Ndu, for coming through one more time.
Thank you for having me, bro. It's
been a Prav. Say bye.
Peace.
Yo, what's your boy, Prav? And you're listening to Radio DR.coza.
Easy. You're now tuned in to radiodr.co.za.